never drank coffee
regularly or ever.
Ever. Well, I've had I've had sips enough to let me know that is not a flavor. In other words, most, from my perspective, most people don't like coffee.
Yeah.
They like creamer and sugar in their coffee, therefore they drink coffee.
Yeah.
But if to have,
and they like creamer, sugar, and caffeine.
Yes.
To wake up.
There you go.
Right?
Yeah. And I guess, like you say, I typically consider myself self-caffeinated.
Yeah.
You know, in that wake up process.
Yeah.
It's like I just wake up.
Yeah.
And I don't, and so yeah, I've never really gotten into drinking coffee. I mean, I've tried to, you know, the mochas and the caramel lattes and stuff, you know.
Do you like that?
It's okay.
Yeah.
But it still just has that bitter.
Yeah. My dad does not like coffee. He would agree with you wholeheartedly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just, why would I subject myself to that bitterness, you know, when I don't like that flavor? Welcome to How I See It with me, Mark Pratt, and
Justin Sternberg. This is a podcast that works to counter cultural polarization through thoughtful conversations.
It's kind of like the rolling your tongue thing. Like, some people can roll their tongue, some people can't. I feel like some people, really, that just that taste of coffee is just off-putting.
Yeah, yeah.
And others, it's complementary to their cream and sugar, and others, it's desirable.
I wouldn't even necessarily waste my money on coffee ice cream.
Yeah.
Because it's just, why would you choose a bitter ice cream?
Yeah. I hear you.
You know, that kind of thing. Yeah. So, yeah, that's where.
Yeah.
That's my take on coffee.
Yeah.
But.
My dad would agree. I don't translate the taste of coffee as bitter anymore. Like, that's
long
gone.
Yeah.
But, and I think that's just from drinking, you know, whatever. There are some coffees that are gross, like Starbucks.
Really?
Yes, I do not like Starbucks.
Oh,
coffee.
Wow. Yeah. We're going to get letters on that.
That's right. Bring them on. I think most pure, like real coffee drinkers would agree. They're like mixed drinks, right? Like they're fancy drinks. Most people like those. I mean, it's hard not to like that much sugar.
Okay.
I like those drinks. I'm just saying, like, they're pure coffee.
Okay.
Wow. Yeah. I don't like, and I know a lot of people also don't like it, but.
Yeah.
Also, some people do, and that's okay.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think, I'm not a big fan of just plain sugar either when I see, you know, like to have to put a tablespoon of just granulated sugar in something reminds me of a kid when I had to put, you know, 2 tablespoons of sugar on Cheerios to kind of make them, you know,
palatable.
Like the rest of the cereals out there. But yeah, I've stepped away from that, I guess. Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, there's also something to be said for caffeine, of course, too, which, you know, I think a lot of people like the caffeine. I people could say I'm in denial, and that's fine. I've never felt the effects of caffeine very much. And in fact, if I drink too much caffeine, sometimes I'll get sleepy. You know what I mean?
Okay. Adverse.
Yeah, and then also it will...
No, hang on now. You just said I drink coffee to help me wake up, but I don't...
I didn't say that. I don't drink it to help me wake up.
Oh, you don't?
No.
Because maybe that was...
I like the taste of coffee. I drink black coffee, you know that. Like, I don't... Yeah. I agree with you about the cream and sugar thing. Like, I actually really like the taste of coffee, and I enjoy the warm liquid experience too, so it's that combo, because I tea sometimes just for the warm liquid thing.
I thought you had mentioned, and maybe it was prior to recording, we won't be able to go back and, you know, do the challenge flag on it, but I thought you had mentioned that, and maybe you were speaking about people in general.
I was
know, using coffee to help them wake up, that kind of thing.
Well, said people only like the sugar and cream. I said also they like being able to wake up in the caffeine.
Yeah. Okay.
That's the challenge flag right there.
I gotcha. No, that's fair enough. This is how we see it. You know, that's how I heard it.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
So no wake up effect for you.
Yeah.
If anything, if you drink too much, you can get dozy.
I think the older I get though, it does have some effects more than it did when I was younger. And where I see it the most is if I drink it late at night, sometimes I'll have a hard time sleeping. Okay. And it's like one in five times it will. So I don't drink coffee at night anymore.
Okay.
Although every Friday night I drink coffee at Celebrate Recovery.
Okay.
Just lots of it.
Wow.
Yeah. That's my drug of choice when I go to my recovery program.
It's coffee.
Yes.
Caffeine.
Yeah. But by the time, when I go to bed, I never have trouble sleeping Friday nights.
Oh, I wouldn't doubt it.
So, yeah. I mean, there's more to that too, probably. But, it's, I don't know. I don't drink it for the caffeine. At least that's what I believe.
Yeah.
I also drink half caf. Like my pot I make every day is half caffeine.
So would you be subject to the headaches if you go a day without it?
Why I actually switched to half caf because I would notice that.
Okay.
I would get headaches. I think it still can occur depending on if I stick to my one pot a day, which is half caf.
Sure.
And I don't drink it a day after or two, it doesn't bother me.
Okay.
But if I increase it, if I do my pot plus some other cups, and that kind of becomes a normal thing, I can feel the withdrawal effects, I guess.
Yeah. Huh. Fair enough.
Everything you ever wanted to know about Justin's coffee habit.
Yes. Brought to you by How I See It.
Yep.
Yeah.
So is that a good segue?
Sure.
To, what's that word?
To cannabinol. There you go.
Cannibalism.
Tetrahydrocannabinol.
We've never talked about cannibalism.
We have not.
That would be pretty cut and dried.
I would think it would be, yes.
That's not what we're talking about.
Yeah.
We're talking about tetrahydrocannabinol.
Yep.
Also known as
THC.
THC, yes.
Otherwise known as marijuana.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Why are we talking about that, Mark?
Well, it's interesting because I think it is a polarizing topic. And it was, I think there are both sides of a story people are going to look at marijuana differently.
Yes.
No doubt about it. It's a how I see it topic. Mm-hmm. And I think there again, it needs to be a topic that we're able to talk about.
Yeah.
And I think that's why we're talking about it. Not that you and I are going to necessarily be on any opposing sides of the fence type thing, but yet at the same time, I'm going to try.
So also I 100% agree with everything you said. I wrote down some statistics from some of these articles we were reading.
Okay,
just because because it kind of makes the point for me.
Sure.
That I want to make, which is, so some of those statistics are more than 1 in 3 Americans live in states where it's legal to smoke pot recreationally.
Sure.
538 reports. Over 60% of adults say both medical and recreational marijuana should be legal, according to Pew. Additional 31% are okay with legalizing just medical use.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. There's another one here. Cannabis marijuana is the world's most commonly used illicit drug. Polls suggest that 1 in 8 U.S. adults smoke, and more than 40% of them have tried the drug at some point in their lifetime. A majority of states allow some form of medical marijuana use, and 9 states in Washington, D.C. have now legalized recreational use.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, the answer to the question of why are we talking about this is because a lot of people are...
It's a topic.
It's a topic. Yeah,
no
it's
doubt.
A real thing. People are very... People around you are using it or actively involved in the culture,
no doubt.
Whether we're talking about it or not, right? Mm-hmm. And so that's, for me, kind of the thing that we kind of just have to pull our heads out of the sand a little bit and just talk about this subject that is very much a real thing for a large chunk of people in your life. Make sense?
Makes perfect sense. And it's interesting because I'm sure, you know, and granted, you know, our range of listenership based on an age group, you know, we're not necessarily going to be hitting, you know, that really older group. Mm-hmm. But my sense is, you know, that older group is definitely going to have a different viewpoint on marijuana than some of our younger group. And I'm not saying that's wrong. I'm just saying even in my lifetime, you know, I know that my kids or people know who to go to in their vicinity to be able to purchase marijuana today.
Hmm.
And that was something that I never knew about, you know, for me at that same age. You follow me? It wasn't even something that, you know, I'm sure if I wanted to ask certain people, I could have found it, but it wasn't like something that I knew exactly who to go to.
Yeah.
And, you know, and even, and here again, maybe a little, what do you call it? Disclaimer. I am not an addictions counselor. Okay. I'm just going to put that disclaimer in there, but I definitely work with people. I've definitely seen how, you know, the effects of marijuana tend to affect some of my clients. You follow me?
Yeah.
So some, you know, some of what I speak about, I'm going to, you know, bring from some personal experience, but you know, that disclaimer there to say, you know, I'm not an addictions counselor, but I think I see what you're describing, you know, in my office in that process of more and more people are look. And I just had a, you know, a couple that I was working with last night, you know, who he is very much, you know, the, if you will, the, it comes out of the ground, it's good.
Yes.
Perspective.
Oh yes. Yes.
You know, that that's kind
not uncommon.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I think, you know, that's part of that growing, you know, part of that 60% that we see, you know, and I think, you know, legalization versus decriminalization are, you know, two other, you know, words that kind of get thrown in there. But most of the time when we're talking about states, we're talking about legalization, you know, and therefore it becomes public access at that point.
Yeah. And all that to say, I just don't feel like most of churches, most churches, most Christian cultures or whatever have addressed this topic well enough, you know?
No, I hear you.
Because as the states open up and the legality, it's like we no longer can depend on legality informing our morality, which interestingly enough, one of the pastors in our church just spoke on addiction a little bit this last week, and he talked about this stuff too, so.
No doubt.
But yeah, that same concept, like, I think churches, you know, in some ways leaned on that a little too much to just say, well, it's illegal. So there's your answer. And, I mean, we can debate the merits of where morality and legality, you know, sit in terms of whether you should obey the law, that kind of thing. That's not really what this episode is about.